All right, I guess we'll wait another 10, 20 seconds for last second stragglers to come in, and then we'll get started.
Stragglers.
It's too early in the morning.
For stragglers, or to get started?
To get started.
And I'm on East Coast time.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess we will go ahead and get started. It's the final day of Cloud Computing West 2013. My name is Ross. I'll be moderating these lovely panelists today. First up's a gentleman who I've had the pleasure of meeting before. He's Falcon Store's VP of Enterprise Solutions, Mr. Chris Polker. He's a highly regarded storage expert with decades of experience, including positions as storage architect at HDS and lead storage architect at Compaq. He also worked as an engineer and VMS consultant at Digital Equipment Corporation. He's the author of The Storage Area Networks for Dummies and a regular blogger for Computer World. Recently, he served as deputy commissioner of the Tech America Foundation Commission on the Leadership Opportunity in the U.S. Deployment of the Cloud. A popular public speaker, Chris is both known for his authority and ability to speak easily about storage virtualization, cloud computing, IT optimization, and data duplication. Please welcome Chris Polker to Cloud Computing West.
Actually, we're just going to use these mics, so you can pass that around for questions if you want. Well, thanks for having me. So Marty asked me to do a presentation on cloud with a little bit about big data in it, but I also included some stuff about mobile, so it's a little bit varied, if you will. One of the interesting things, and I guess where I used to hang out in D.C., for some reason they thought it would be a great idea to actually recruit me as one of the deputy commissioners for the Commission on Cloud Computing. So what I wanted to do this morning is just talk to you a little bit about what that commission was about, what we covered, and I think it's kind of important as we move forward and the cloud matures, because one of the things we did was try to create the standards that everybody can abide by so that cloud would be more easily adopted, there would be more trust, there would be less risk, and it would be kind of more of a standard template of how you do this. So with that being said, we actually got together in 2011 under the Tech America Foundation, and it was called the Cloud Computing 2. You can see the link on the bottom as we can go to get some more information on that. It was comprised of a bunch of people from all across the academia, government, and the commercial sector. And the goals that the Obama administration asked us to do was figure out how the U.S. government could actually provide a leadership role in the cloud, because the U.S., as we see cloud being adopted more and more, wanted to be a leader in this position. We wanted to be able to understand what are the roadblocks and what are the things that would prevent somebody from moving their data into the cloud. Within that initiative, though, one of the things that the U.S. government was deciding to do is to put the government data in other people's clouds. So we're leveraging Canada, Australia, the EU, so that the government agencies could build trust across those different countries. Now, the NSA scandal kind of put a little bit of a kibosh on the trust factor, and I think we need to work on that a little bit. And from my position, I think we need to go back through the commission and see what we can do from a standards body's perspective to help drive more trust across transnational data flows and security in the cloud. So the commission leaders were Mike Capellas, Mark Benoit. There was Dan Reed, so Microsoft was there. We had GE. We had about 71 different companies. Kind of an interesting thing, right? So the government said, let's get 71 different folks from different companies all across the U.S. and the world, pretty much, and who compete against each other and try to create standards, right? So it's sort of like the U.N. a little bit. But I think the U.N. could probably take some notes of the outcome of this, because we were able to come together and address a lot of the issues, especially through NIST creating the standards. So I'll talk a little bit about that as a baseline definition of what cloud is, because there's still a lot of confusion out there. Anyway, some really smart folks were there. So the focus really was these four areas: trust, transnational data flows, transparency, and transformation. So how could we work on each one of these areas to develop the standards that are required to enable wide-scale adoption and leadership from a U.S. perspective in these areas? And what we came up with was 14 recommendations across a couple of different areas of those trust, transnational data flows, transparency, and transformation that the U.S. could do from an agency perspective, and then also what the commercial sector could do also to help drive this. There's some interesting things there that I've highlighted a little bit. So develop infrastructure standards. I was on the subcommission working on infrastructure standards, and I think there's still a lot of work that needs to be done here. Is anybody familiar with the Uptime Institute?
Okay. Yeah, I know.
So the Uptime Institute is a third-party, assessment company that will go in and assess data centers for how many nines you can provide to your end users. So the interesting part about that is their classification starts with Tier 1 to Tier 4, and Tier 1 is the worst, and Tier 4 is the best.
Right.
So there's a lot of confusion out there. People are saying, hey, we're a Tier 1 data center, which means you're the worst data center you can have. So when people are trying to adopt, we think that there's some education that needs to take place, some standard nomenclature that could be adopted to reduce complexity and reduce confusion so that adoption could be better streamlined. Strong authentication standards. There's really no standard way to do security in the cloud yet today. It's developing, it's maturing, but there's a lot of different companies doing different things and different methodologies, right? And that's good because it's competing, so ultimately innovation will prevail. But we feel that that there's still a need. I think security would be, or there would be a lot more ease in putting data in the cloud if you knew as a procurer or a customer that your data is going to be encrypted at rest, that you have the key and only you have the key, and that if anybody needs access to it, even the federal government, you would need to be able to provide that key to them for them to gain access to that. So that would give folks a warm and fuzzy feeling, I would imagine, a little bit more on doing this. And then you know, standard skill sets. There's still a lot of IT folks out there who are still building servers, running applications on them, you know, creating ones and sands and doing all those kind of things. And that's changing dramatically as you move to cloud. Platforms, operating systems, the way you provision storage, the way you actually provision servers is changing. And a lot of folks are still back in the late 90s and maybe even some in the government in the early 80s about how this happens, right? There's a lot of legacy infrastructure out there that needs to be migrated or moved and made more virtualized, if you will, so that it can participate. So there's a lot of things here, I think, that the standards are being developed, and NIST has been very helpful, along with MIT and Carnegie Mellon and some of the other universities, including IEEE, to help drive some of these standards to help move these things along. Any questions on what I've covered so far? All right. So what I'd like to do now is get kind of back to the basics of what cloud is.
Just a quick question.
Alan, go ahead.
Is the cloud commission still together? Is it still working? Or is it?
Yeah, we still have, we're not meeting down in D.C. anymore. We just communicate via email through the commission. We can regroup if we need to. We can, if a pressing need comes up, somebody could make a recommendation and get together again. So what is cloud? There's been a lot of confusion. So this is the de facto standard of what cloud is. It's a model for enabling convenient on-demand network access to a shared pool of configurable compute resources that can be rapidly provisioned and released with minimal managed effort or service provider action. So the cloud is a utility, right? Everybody knew the term utility computing a while back. And the cloud is really not there yet. I mean, it would be a real pain if my wife had to call the electric company and say, all right, I'm about to plug in the iron, so please, I need to provision some more electricity before I do that. And then you turn on the heat and you have to do that again, right? So we need to get more service-oriented in how we do this, self-serve, you know, expandable, it's on-demand, and those type of things. So the NIST developed really four constraints around what cloud is. It must be able to provide three service models, four deployment models, and five essential characteristics. So everybody's familiar with the three service models, SaaS, PaaS, and IaaS. SaaS is the upper layer, the IaaS is the infrastructure layer, and the platform as a service is kind of the middle tier there. But interestingly enough, Gartner, if you're still procuring infrastructure from the traditional vendors like HP and Oracle and Dell and the other folks, what we're seeing now is convergent infrastructure is really the way the new data centers are being deployed, even internally, not just in the cloud. So you're going to see more flex pods and V blocks and that type of infrastructure being used because it's a modular way to very quickly use the storage, the servers, the platform, and the network all converge together to do this. So Gartner says by 2015, that's really going to be the way things are deployed. I just came from the Gartner Symposium in Florida, and basically what they're saying is CIOs are going to be more service brokers rather than running the organization because you're going to be handling contracts with cloud providers more than doing anything internally. So things are changing rapidly. I always told my wife I should have been a brain surgeon because you don't need to know as much based on what we do as for a living because there is no brain 2.0. But things are changing, and that's good because it keeps things exciting. That's where we all love our jobs, right? All right, so the NIST4 deployment models are private cloud, community cloud, which isn't really as referenced, public cloud and hybrid cloud. Community cloud is interesting because there are some hospitals that want to be able to share healthcare information, and I think this is the perfect use case for what cloud is all about because you could put your medical records up there. If you have keys to give out to your providers, they can then leverage that immediately. So if you get into a car accident in Florida but you're from California, you'd have immediate access to all of your records. If you had some kind of stents put in your heart and they don't put you through an MRI so they rip your heart out, right? So that would be kind of nice to know that information. So this is a great use case, I think, for what cloud is about. And then for it to be considered cloud, it must have some five key elements. It's got to be on demand. It's got to have broad network access. You have to be able to pool resources. You have to be able to rapidly expand it. And it must be measured so you could do chargeback for it. I have a link there from NIST's website where you can get more information on that, too. And I got to talk really fast because I'm running out of time. So as part of my work on the commission, we develop what I call the infrastructure use case. So how do you determine what applications move to the cloud and how do you determine which are better to stay in-house? And this is an eye chart, really, but NIST did the stuff on the right and I did the stuff on the left. And really what it is, it's a loop back based on what standards are now available. And then from those standards, who's going to be the provider and which way should you go, right? So you see the GSA there on the government side? The GSA, or Government Services Administration, is going to be the focal point for the government to use internal cloud resources from on a secure network basis. So you're not going to go to public cloud providers if you're the CIA. You would go to the GSA, and the GSA would use its internal DoD-level resources to provide that service to that agency. There's a process called FedRAMP, and this is where I think the government is actually leading the public sector. The FedRAMP process is a big BOC, a proof of concept. All the vendors who participate in government cloud need to go through the FedRAMP process if the government can buy their equipment. So if you're a vendor and you don't know about FedRAMP, you should go through that process or understand about it. Otherwise, you will not be able to sell to the federal government. That process is actually kind of interesting because it takes a look at the security common criteria, FIPS 140-2 certification, all the things you need to be able to be secure in the cloud. And then on the application and infrastructure side, the classification tiers of the cloud vendors are some of the work that I think that still needs to be done because there are no standards built there. But I provided a methodology to do those standards based on Class A through Class D. And then look at the risk level and see, based on the security, if you want to actually do public or keep it internal. And the same thing goes for the applications. There are a lot of homegrown applications that are not cloud ready. You would need to redo them before you move them to the cloud, and that's still a lot of effort that needs to happen. So I call this the cloud formation chart, because cloud is still kind of foggy. But this is more for the public sector to use the same methodology as actually the private sector to use the same methodology as the public sector, where you could look at your infrastructure and your applications, understand the security risk of moving it to the cloud, and then develop the process to either keep it in-town or move it to a public provider. So the commission did some good work, and hopefully this is available, I believe, on the buyer's guide from the commission website. So how do you become cloud ready? I have a 10-step process. I was going to make it a 12-step process, but I think AAA owns that. Enable mobility, that's number one. So the thing that makes cloud really the cloud is virtualization. So if you haven't virtualized your environment, you need to start doing that. You then need to audit your applications to understand what you actually have in-house. You then need to embrace encryption, because without encryption, you're at risk from a hacking perspective. You then need to assess your infrastructure. Sometimes it's less costly to do it internally than it is to do it externally. And which applications are the best for that is kind of up to you. Cloud providers are going to charge you based on certain metrics, CPU cycles, cost per terabyte or gigabyte. You need to understand what those metrics are before you can actually make an intelligent decision whether or not to move to the cloud. And that's some work that people need to do now, so that if you want to move to the cloud, you'll know if it's a good financial decision. Growth trends, I got 3 minutes, okay. Create data storage. This will be available, for you afterwards, so I won't go through every single one. But the end result is to really create internally, for your own organization, a cloud-enabled infrastructure, where instead of doing element management, you're creating policies at the fabric level so that your production tiers can then move to your protection tiers automatically. You can then leverage innovation and technology like data deduplication, WAN optimization, continuous protection, those type of things to become more efficient in how you move and store and protect data, which now makes it a lot more cost effective to move to a hybrid cloud environment. So once you virtualize internally, you can then connect to a virtualized environment on the other side much more easily. The end result being, from a media perspective, is to have your users using mobile devices for access to all of the things they need. So the laid-back approach, you're sitting on a couch with a tablet, you're able to access information anywhere, whether it's on-site, whether it's a peer environment, whether it's the cloud itself, whether it's an archive-type environment for their old pictures and whatnot. And what's going to happen is things are going to be, from a media perspective, instead of pushing content out to the public is going to be creating their own definition of what they want, and they'll be pulling that from the provider. So things are changing there, which has a pretty big effect on licensing and things like that, which brings up Gartner's nexus of forces. So this is what Gartner is saying is the driving factors of what's happening to the cloud right now. So social, mobile, cloud, and information are having a huge impact because of data growth. So the brand of the organization from a media perspective becomes less important as people, embrace the cloud and move their information there, because now content access is king. So it's the customer's user experience that becomes more important. And interestingly enough, we're actually seeing cloud adoption by some of the larger players, like what Apple did to the music industry. Apple is now using cloud, and that was found out in 2011 by Rich Miller. They were actually doing sniffing on the HTTP traffic. They found Azure OS and Amazon is being used for the images, for the album covers and things like that. So even Apple is embracing cloud to help in their infrastructure and positioning so that they can make it faster. Everybody's heard of Aereo. I think I have this little report that, done from a legal standpoint, Aereo wants to, just over-the-air service, and for $8 a month, you can cut the cord. So that's going to have impact. There's some legal stuff going on there, but licensing needs to change. We see that the user is becoming more important. If you look at what's going on with the Xbox becomes kind of like the TV, if you will. And that becomes the consolidator of information. So what's happening is the user is becoming more important, so the brand is becoming less important. A great example of this is Amazon, actually, their Kindle. I call that an order entry machine for Amazon because you're tied into it. It's a great experience, and they've used that device from a mobile perspective to capture that audience, and then they just use, you know, Amazon Prime or whatever to provide the content. So in other use cases here, we see like Glacier, transcoding and render farms are a great use for cloud. Some of this is from a buddy of mine from a very large cable provider. Content distribution, if you have a lot of content out there, moving it to the edge closer to the subscriber is a great way to reduce bandwidth problems or issues. But still, security is the main concern. In this case, they didn't want to have Game of Thrones being seen by the NSA of who's going to have the, what's going to happen in the end. So risk and trust is still important in cloud. So with that, here's more information about where to go for cloud. Obviously, DCIA and CCA are your best sources, including the CIO Council, the government, and you can actually get a cloud commission report on the bottom for the work we did at the commission. So with that, I think I'm done.
Maybe 1 minute. Good question while they're setting up.
Well, yeah, we're actually going to do Q&A for each panel right after they're done speaking instead of the way we did it yesterday. So if anyone has any questions for Chris, feel free right now.
Sure.
This is just more of an opinion than anything else. You were describing the government and the security within the cloud commission and what is being addressed. You heard rumblings about the BlackBerry sale because the security is required in all the government usage of BlackBerry devices. You know, they're a large-scale BlackBerry cloud that's having that. Is there been rumblings about that sale? Because I know Huawei is interested in buying it, and they have certainly a reputation.
Well, there's a reason why they took Obama's BlackBerry from him, right? Because they considered that risk.
I don't know Merkel's phone number on that.
I think they wanted his MP3s that he had. I don't know, but even internally within the government, hacking is and security is extremely important. And interestingly enough, they should probably get somebody on the NSA to figure out how to do that better internally. From that perspective, I think that's why the GSA is going to provide cloud services for the internal agencies, because they're on a secure network. Nobody can get into it. It's behind a firewall. And they're not going to be using outside services, especially for stuff that is like the president's email.
So they really don't have an opinion about BlackBerry. They're just moving off of it.
I haven't heard anything that's, either way, whether it's good or bad.
With the definitions of cloud, is I think in the marketplace, working with cloud companies deploying to customers, one of the challenges I've learned is confusion and mystification. So the story we always tell is that if you ask 10 different customers what does it mean to be in cloud computing, you might get 11 different answers, but yeah, certainly close to 10. So I saw in your slides that there's this attempt to come to a definition for standards, which may be a different sort of scenario. But has that also been your experience that there's confusion in the customer marketplace about what cloud means? And do you see that as a challenge to kind of really define it and take the mystery out of cloud computing?
Well, it's funny. Does anybody know how the definition of cloud came about? Why the term cloud was used?
I mean, for me, it was in the days of early network definition prior to IP, and packet switch networks were depicted as clouds.
Right.
That's my understanding.
I blame Microsoft Visio, right? So, so in Microsoft Visio, the way that the geeks or the propeller heads, right, created a depiction of the very complex infrastructure for the network was always a cloud. right? Yeah, so that's kind of why cloud computing said, let's take all of this complex infrastructure and define it as cloud. But then, you know, all right, so a lot of people, what's in it? Yeah, and that's the problem. Nobody knows what's in it, right? So is the cloud the internet? And the answer is yes. If you think about Google, that's a huge cloud application, right? So it's a search engine for all of the information in the world, right? And same with Yahoo. So that could be considered a cloud app. So there's still a lot of confusion, and I think that goes to around some of the things I said in my slide that the commission was after is training. From an industry standpoint, the skill sets that are involved in doing it are different than traditional IT, and I think that there still needs to be, I think that's why even vendors are making it more confusing because they're trying to differentiate themselves in what cloud is. I mean, Hitachi's calling it a content cloud for the SaaS portion, which now is that content cloud or is that the SaaS piece, right? So everything becomes confusing, and that's good, really, because it gives a lot of opportunity for consultants to help and make money. Well, and the attorneys will then, you know, make more money on top of that, right? So.
It's sort of good and not good. I mean, I think at the end of the day, this whole industry works with some end-user customers using and paying for these services. And it's been my perception that confusion has been an impediment for that. And I think in the standards thing, you've got to be really technical and use all these technical words, and I get that. But on a customer-facing basis for the end-users, at least particularly when they're not the biggest, most sophisticated Fortune X100 corporations, challenge we perceive is you just got to break it down and talk in their language and qualify or quantify the benefits and what they're getting so they get it, mm-hmm. Not all this stuff that they're too scared to ask a question because they don't want to look dumb.
Right.
But they're certainly not going to stroke a check if they don't understand really what the value is.
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons when I do these presentations, I always do the baseline of what cloud is and what is the definition, because that actually makes, you know, people don't like to ask because they think, oh, yeah, I know what cloud is. And sometimes they don't.
Thank you.
Yep.
So, let me ask a question. How you would define the following scenario. You know, I've given the answer to my client. The scenario is, you know, I'm building an application for a client, X, and I'm using, you know, cloud-based services from Amazon S3 or Google, you know, geolocation services, GPS, in deploying the actual end customer application into customer's cloud, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Private cloud. So, like you said, the changing definition of CIO. Mm-hmm. Like, I just built an application using three different clouds.
Right.
Right?
Three and deploying different. You used all three layers of the cloud.
Or three layers, like, you know, software,
correct.
Platform, you know, whatever
and infrastructure,
you call it, right?
Yep.
And infrastructure. So how would the CIO or the VP of application manage the SLA for his or her end users now?
Well, see, that's what's interesting, because that's one of the reasons why Gartner said that CIOs are going to be changing their position from managing internal processes for the business and becoming more like a service broker for the organization. Because the internal private cloud is going to be a service for the end users with chargeback, but they're also going to be leveraging public and hybrid cloud providers for some of the applications. And their job is going to be moving more towards contract management to understand what are the risk stipulations for loss and uptime and those type of SLAs. So, so the role is changing of what upper management needs to focus on in business. And I think that's being defined now. I don't think there are any standards around that today. I think that's going to happen as cloud matures.
So in that context, do you see the need for a CIO 5 years from today? You know, if I'm a CMO, right, you know, serving my end customers, you know, in consumers or whoever, it becomes basically a contract management entity as opposed to a technology-managed entity.
Yeah, so his job is going to change from managing technology, understanding the bits and bytes, and being able to choose the right vendors to provide that for the organization to affect the business. More from, you know, which contracts do I need to work on, which cloud providers can I leverage, or is it better for me, based on my internal assessment for what the business needs, to become more efficient, to do this internally or to use a cloud provider to do it. And I see even today, some CIOs aren't even attacking that. If you ask a lot of the CIOs, what are you using internally and what does it cost you to do this, they have no idea. Because, you know, larger, especially in the very large enterprise, you know, if you went to, I don't want to pick on anybody, but, you know, I won't pick on anybody.
Because
I'll get in trouble. My job is as VP at Falcon Store. I visit quite a few large enterprises and talk to them in a consultative manner about what they're doing, and I speak to the CIOs, and a lot of them still don't even know what cloud is, or you know, they still have their own issues about being educated enough to be able to do this properly. So I think conferences like this can help that, and I think there's got to be more of this going on so that the education is there so that they can become, their skills are better off.
It's not really switch, it's really he's going to have to grow, right? He still has to know about the technology.
You don't really need to know. When you move to the cloud, it's more of a service, right? So you don't need to know how electricity is generated to use an electricity company. You just need to know if you want to choose vendor A or vendor B based on price and availability of the business. So the role is changing there. You don't need to go down as in-depth as you used to do that. Even the guys in the shop, right, the IT administrators and the data center operators, their job is changing because the beautiful use case for the cloud is that you don't have to build data centers anymore, and you can focus on your core business. So all of that need internally goes away.
But they have to focus on their
Yes, that's what they need to focus on.
That's what I'm saying. They don't lose it. They just switches.
Correct. Their skill set needs to go higher.
Right.
Yep.